Mr. President, let me go to this map. Some people may not realize that they have levees in their state. This map shows that there's levees in basically every state of the union. For just audio or visual purposes, we didn't put Hawaii and Alaska on this map because it would take up so much space, but they have levees as well. Every dark area you see here, the dark green, are counties where there are levees. That doesn't mean, obviously, that every single person in that county is protected by the levee, but there are levees in that county. You can see there are levees basically coast to coast in this country. I don't know if all 50 states have some, because there may be one or two that don't, but basically, they're everywhere. They're all over the country. These levees work. Now, let me talk just for a moment about the Corps of Engineers. Mr. President, everybody here knows that I've had occasion where I've criticized the Corps of Engineers when I didn't agree with things that they did wrong, or when they didn't do something right, or when they did something I thought was dumb, or whatever the case is. But on this issue, none of us should have any criticism of the U.S. Army Corps of Engineers, because they know how to do a lot of things, but one of the things they know how to do, they know how to design and build and maintain levees. And let me just show you on this map here, they have something they call the Mississippi River and Tributary System. And what that is that is up and down the Mississippi, with some of the tributaries going up and down the Mississippi, the Corps of Engineers designs and builds and maintains those levees. Very important point here. The MR&T levees have never failed. Never. They've been around since 1928. Zero failure. Not one time have they failed. But nonetheless, this legislation that may be included in this package coming over from the House is going to require millions and millions of Americans that live behind the safest levees in the world to buy flood insurance for no reason. They're never going to flood. As long as we have the MR&T, as long as the Corps of Engineers is designing these, as long as they're maintaining these, we're going to get a big return on our investment. In fact, Mr. President, the return on our investment for the MR&T is something like 32 to 1. We get a huge, huge return. For every dollar we put in, we save $35 based on that investment. That the MR&T has prevented $478 billion worth of property damage in this country. $478 billion in savings. And we're going to require all those people to buy flood insurance. We're going to pretend as if the Congress is going to enter into a legal fiction. They're going to pretend as if those levees aren't even there. If you're in the 100-year flood zone, you don't get any benefit from the fact that you live behind this levee system. Let me say one more thing about the MR&T levee system. And that is, it not only is the safest in the world, it's the envy of the world. The Corps of Engineers travels around the world, and the world travels to the United States of America to see the levee system and the locks and dams and the other flood control structures that the United States Army Corps of Engineers has built on our rivers in this country. They're the model that other countries are trying to follow. Why are they the model? Because they work. They design them right. They build them right. They maintain them right. Again, we get a 35 to 1. For every dollar we put in, 35 to 1 return on that investment. There's over 4.1 million people protected just by the MR&T. That's just a small fraction of what the Corps of Engineers does, but 4.1 million people protected by the MR&T. Over half the U.S. population lives somewhere near a levee. Over half the U.S. population lives somewhere near a levee. We don't know exactly how FEMA will administer this law, because we don't know exactly what's going to come out of the House if it does pass. But I can guarantee you what's going to happen is very simple. As soon as this takes effect, we're going to have thousands and thousands and thousands of people calling us, emailing us, and writing us. They're going to be saying, why is the Congress making my mortgage payment go up? Because that's how this is going to work. Those lenders and the federal government are going to require that people purchase flood insurance. We don't know exactly the numbers, again, because we don't know how this is going to be structured and how it's going to be applied just yet. But our best guesstimate is, on average, the average homeowner in this country is going to owe somewhere between $1,000 and $2,000 a year. $1,000 to $2,000 a year. Not a one-time deal, but $1,000 to $2,000 a year in flood insurance that they'll never need and they'll never use. So for most people, that's going to be $100 or probably more a month. Of course, it depends on your house. It depends on a lot of other circumstances. But that is serious money for people, and that we're requiring them to spend that for no good reason at all. Let me just talk about the Mississippi River and tributary system again just for a moment. Everybody remembers that last year we had the potential of horrendously bad flooding in the midsection of the country. I know Arkansas, our levees were stressed. There's no doubt. Even the Mississippi River and tributary system levee was stressed last year. No question about it. There's a reason for that. In 2011, we saw the flood of record on the Mississippi River. Some people are saying it's actually the 500-year flood. You know, these levees can be built to withstand up to 500-year floods. Some people are saying this was the 500-year flood, but certainly that hadn't been all certified yet, but certainly it was a huge amount of water flowing through the Mississippi River. It was at every station on the Mississippi, from Cairo, Illinois to Natchez, Mississippi, they broke the record last year. Every single station. And infrastructure, and here's the key, not one levee broke. Biggest flood we've ever had, not one levee broke. Now, the Senate bill will say, even though those levees don't break, even though they're the best in the world, even though they can withstand the 500-year flood, we're going to make those people buy flood insurance. I don't think that's right. I don't think that's fair. And I think that the people should be outraged if we make that requirement on them. That flood, that infrastructure last year prevented $110 billion in damages. In one flood, in one spring, $110 billion worth of damages. It protected 10 million acres of land up and down the Mississippi River. 10 million acres and nearly a million structures were spared because of MR&T. Did not lose one life. No flooding where it wasn't supposed to flood. You remember last year they did blow the levee at Bird's Point by design. That's part of the levee system. When the water gets so high and so enormous, you start to get these 500-year levels. They build these safety valves up and down the river. They had to use one last year. They blew the levee at Bird's Point in Missouri. It worked exactly as it was supposed to work. I know the farmers up there weren't real happy, but they understood the risk of where they lived and how that worked. That's been the deal up there for a long time. They blew that levee. The water spilled into there. It took pressure off the river and off the levees, and that's what happened, and it works. So let me show you this quick chart, Mr. President. And this is a sort of a artist rendering, if you will, of a levee. And there's a lot of science and engineering that goes into these levees. But the flood of 1927, which is so famous because it really did change everything in this country, and for the first time ever, the federal government took responsibility for levees up and down the Mississippi River and took it in a national way to create a national system. And by the way, there's a great book by John Barry called Rising Tide. If you hadn't read it, it's worth reading. It's a good book about the flood of 27. But that's the flood that everybody talks about, because back then you had a very inadequate levee system. There were floods all up and down the whole Mississippi River Valley, the whole watershed. it started raining that year. I think it started raining on Christmas Eve of 26 or somewhere in there. And it basically rained every day through Easter. I mean, it rained and rained and rained and rained through that area. And we just didn't have the flood control to protect. We had some levees, but they weren't scientifically done, and they weren't engineered properly, and they weren't big enough, they weren't strong enough. And after that flood, the U.S. government took over. So the flood on the levee system on the MR&T goes back to 1928, the year after this 27 flood. So anyway, the way a levee works is they design most levees, kind of the standard design is for the 100-year flood. That means you have a 1% chance every year that you're going to get to a certain level. Once every 100 years, that's what it's going to do, 1% chance. You can see that the way the MRT is built, that ain't the half of it, because they keep going up. They build actually beyond the 500-year flood. And we saw in 1937, we saw a much bigger flood than the 27 flood, but guess what? The levee system worked. Where they had it built and completed, it worked. It did great. So levees are very important. We may not think they're very exciting. We may not think they make a lot of headlines, but they work. And you can see an example right here. Here's an area, a rural area, farmland area, protected by a levee right there. See a lot of water down here, but there's no water over here. And that's exactly the way they're supposed to work, and they do work. Here again, to make the point, the Senate bill would say, even though you have this levee, these people living over here, they're going to have to buy flood insurance. It's not going to flood. Never going to flood there. We got them protected, but you're going to have to buy flood insurance. It's just generally unfair, and it's not right, and we should not do that to our people. Mr. President, let me just say a few other words here before I move on. This map right here, I think, really says a lot. This is the one I started with. We really do have levees everywhere all around the country. 881 counties have levees. 881 counties have levees. Those counties contain more than 50% of the U.S.'s population. So again, this legislation that is now trying to be attached to whatever vehicle is coming back through, this legislation is going to adversely affect about half the U.S. population one way or the other. Also, if you live in an area that has levees, you can just forget about economic development. Just forget about it. Once they start doing this and they start saying, well, everybody has to have flood insurance, live in this floodplain, even though you're not going to flood, we're still going to require you that, just forget about economic development. It's going to be extremely difficult for people to stay there and to have insurance in those areas. Now, this bill that came out of the Banking Committee, I think it's a good bill. I think we need to do it. We need to pass it. I'm not trying to slow it down at all. In fact, I started this week thinking that we would have a chance to vote on the bill this week, that we would have a chance to debate the bill and offer amendments to the bill. I understand now there's some non-germane, non-relevant amendments to the legislation. I think that's unfortunate. Hopefully we can work through that. But I have an amendment that is very germane. In fact, I have an amendment that at one point we've had to change the language because the senator from Alabama wanted to do a substitute, so we've changed our language. We still think we have anywhere from 13 to 15 co-sponsors on my amendment. Senator Hovind has joined me. Many, many others have joined me. Again, about 13 to 15 senators on that. In addition, in talking to offices, we have about 50 votes that we know of. I'm counting 51. We have about 20 offices that are looking at it, that may be leaning to voting for it, but they just haven't committed to saying yes. I think it's very likely that if we allow the Senate to be the Senate, we will take care of the problem in this Banking Committee bill. I think that we can do that. I think we can have that vote. I think the prior Hovind amendment carries the day. Don't know that. You don't know until you debate and get in here and have a vote and see how it goes. I think right now what we need to do is let the Senate be the Senate and let the Senate debate, let the Senate argue. We fuss with each other sometimes, I know that, But let's have a vote on this amendment. I think there is well over 50 votes in this chamber right now to take these provisions, it's the old Section 107, out of this legislation and leave in a couple of studies. We think it's fine to have studies. We think we should study this. It's good. Again, we're not trying to slow this down. We're not trying to bury our head in the sand and saying that we don't think there's any risk at all. But let's study it. Let's look at it, and let's see what makes sense. I'll tell you what doesn't make sense. It doesn't make sense to just ignore the best levy system in the world. Now, let me also say this, that there are several levies around the country that are not done by the Corps of Engineers. They don't have the kind of the resources that the Corps and the expertise that the Corps can bring to building levees and flood control. We need to acknowledge that. There are levees in this country that should be decertified. They really don't meet the standards. They maybe weren't built correctly and or they hadn't been maintained correctly. So you got to maintain these levees carefully. You got to trim the vegetation. You got to be watching for things like sand boils and structural defects. You need to go in and make adjustments from time to time. It's the reality of operating a system of levees. And honestly, there are places around the country where that hasn't been done. Those levees should not be certified unless they're repaired and brought up to standards. And the people behind those levees don't have real flood protection. So maybe they should pay for insurance. And I'm not opposed to that. I think they probably should. I think that's what these studies will help us sort out. How do we draw that line? How do we make that decision? Why don't you give us a little time here to study this and try to make sure we get this policy right so we're not charging people for insurance that they'll never need. Let me also say, Mr. President, that we do have several others here in the Senate who are for this. They've been very supportive from the very beginning. I have several colleagues I'd like to thank publicly. I think some do want to come over and talk about this development today where we may not get a chance to vote on the amendment. Pretty much without exception, there may be one or two exceptions, but almost without exception, pretty much everybody who is with the original amendment is going to stick with this amendment, even though it's a little different structure because it amends a substitute, and it also leaves in these two studies. But that's fine. We've never had a problem with the two studies. Again, I think if we adopt the Senate bill and the Senate proposal, and if it comes over from the House without us having a chance to even offer our amendment, I think we're really negating a very wise investment we've made around the country in the levees that the Corps of Engineers has built for us. And it just is not logical that we would not consider the actual risk involved and where people live. It's not logical that we would pretend that these levees aren't even there. It just doesn't make sense. It doesn't make sense in any way, shape, or form. And that's what we're being denied today as senators. We should have a chance to look at this legislation, to open it up, to read it, to pick at it, to find things that we don't agree with, to ask questions about it. Certainly, I've gone through here. You can see that I've highlighted, Mr. President, you can see that I've highlighted this bill and have written in it and made notes in the margin and have questions about it. I'm trying to do what senators should do. We should work on legislation, be very constructive, try to get it. If we have problems with it, try to get it amended. Try to convince our colleagues that our arguments should carry the day and that we should prevail and that we should amend legislation. We all recognize that the banking committees worked very hard on this. We appreciate the chairman and the ranking member for their hard work and all their staff. They've been great. But since the bill did not get amended in the committee, it ought to at least have a chance to be amended on the Senate floor, especially when there's at least one amendment where it looks like well over 50 senators support that amendment. This would be an injustice if this provision was included coming over from the House. Like I said before, it also endangers the passage of the surface transportation and also the student loan provision that are very popular with people. I think you have plenty of votes to pass both of those. But if the cost of that means The trade-off of that means that we're going to be charging people for flood insurance they don't need. It's mandatory now. This is not an option. It's mandatory. They have to buy flood insurance. I don't think that's a trade-off that we should make. Also, I was talking to someone earlier, and they said, well, we need student loans. I agree with that. I'm all for lowering the rate of student loans, but I can guarantee you that it's going to be less money out of pocket for people on the student loans than it is to be buying this flood insurance every year. No doubt about that, because this stuff's very expensive. And the difference in the student loans is not really going to be $1,000 or $2,000 a year. Difference in student loans is maybe going to be a few hundred dollars a year, significant, and it helps. And we want people to go to college, and I'm all for that. But this is the pocketbook issue here, the fact that we're going to be requiring people to purchase insurance that they don't need. So what my amendment does is my amendment removes the mandatory language in Section 107. It basically says that you're not going to be required to purchase flood insurance just merely because you live behind a levee or near a dam or some other flood control structure. Like I said, right now, the way the banking bill is drafted, it is a per se requirement based on location, not based on risk. It's based on location. And let me also say something about a senator from Alabama. He reached an agreement with one of the senators from Mississippi, and I appreciate that. That amendment does make the bill a little better. It does, because the way the bill was originally structured, it didn't matter if you lived in a 100-year floodplain or a 500-year floodplain. Didn't matter. You were going to buy that insurance. And what Senator Cochran of Mississippi was able to work out was to at least restrict it to a 100-year floodplain. Well, that's good. It's an improvement. But you're still, the fundamental principle still applies. You're requiring people to purchase insurance they're never going to need because they're protected by the levies. So with that, Mr. Chairman, I know we have some other members who want to come over and speak. And I think what I'll do right now, Mr. President, is yield the floor and await my colleagues coming over. I yield the floor, Mr. President.